الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, continuing with العقيدة الوسطية للشيخ سلمة بن تيمية. Last week we discussed the matters of, or the chapter of faith, إيمان. And we said the linguistic difference between إيمان and تصديق and إقرار and the consequences of these, the different terminology. And we stopped at the point where Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah basically declared their faith, declared that their aqidah concerning Iman is that it increases and decreases. And we quoted evidences from that. We stopped at Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman. The Shaykh said, Asbab Ziyadat al-Iman Arba'ah. The reasons or the means through which one increases faith are four things you can do to increase your iman. Needless to say, is this important or unimportant?
Very important.
This is as important as things can be. I mean, because basically the level of iman is what decides what happens to you after you die. In fact, it decides what happens to you in the grave, because Allah says, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. Allah keeps firm الذين آمنوا, those who believe, بالقول الثابت, with the firm statement, in this life and in the life to come. The ulama say it means that the grave, in the grave when he's questioned by Munkar and Nakir. So the level of iman has to do with how confident you will be during the questioning and what happens afterwards. So it is of utmost importance that we identify the importance of this, the increase of iman and the means through which we can increase it. الأول معرفة الله تعالى بأسمائه وصفاته. The first reason is knowing Allah through His names and His attributes, because we have no other means to know about Allah. There are no other means to know about Allah. Some people say that it is merely intellectual. And the truth is, no, it is not. There are elements of belief which are based on intellect, and there are elements which have to do with your iman, specifically concerning the Allah's attributes, like Allah's face, Allah's hands, Allah's fingers. These you couldn't have thought on your own. Had it not been revealed to us, we would have known that. So, you know, it has to do with the textual evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. فَإِنَّهُ كُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْإِنسَانُ مَعْرِفَةً بِاللَّهِ وأسمائه وصفاته ازداد إيمانه. The more the slave is knowledgeable of Allah's names and attributes, the more his iman will increase. So knowing Allah, and who can give us an example? Who can give us an example? What is the relationship between you knowing the names and attributes of Allah and your iman increasing? Okay. How does that increase your iman?
If you take Jabbar, it makes you be on the right path. Right?
Okay, good. Anything else? I need more elaboration, yes?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's inside us. So sometimes when you feel bad, you feel good inshallah, because Allah knows everything inside you, and you beg to Allah to.
Tab, which quality or name of Allah is that? How about Al-Alim? You say Allah knows? Al-Alim. Okay. So Allah knows everything, and Allah knowing everything gives you, actually, you can look at it from that aspect that you feel better. You can look at it that whatever happens is because Allah knows about it. And so you no longer worry, because Allah knows of it. Same thing you can say about Qadr, or Allah's Qudra, the fact that Allah is able to do all things, that increases your iman, that things which seem to be impossible, for example, the kuffar trying to throw Ibrahim in the fire, and that usually will burn someone. But Allah's Qudra entailed that Allah said to the Nar, Ya Nar, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim, O fire, be cool and peaceful, safe upon Ibrahim, and so nothing happened to him. So that increases your iman. Knowing the Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing the oneness and uniqueness of Allah will increase your iman, because when you see all these people worshipping these idols, statues, Jesus, the whatever, the cross, whatever they worship, these worthless objects, you know, that they've invented. Of course, the prophets are not related or not part of that expression that I made. Then you realize that the oneness and uniqueness of Allah will increase your iman, because you know for a fact you're the only religion which provides you with the true belief, which is pleasing to Allah, the Creator, is Islam. No other religion offers you these things. And of course, we can give more examples. The second reason or means, النظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. النظر, what does نظر mean? نظر. Okay. Look, looking. نظر is looking, it's infinitive here. النظر is a مصدر, النظر. Looking. And of course, in the English language, if a word ends with ing, it's one of two things. It's either an infinitive or it is some sort of continuous. Past continuous, present continuous, future continuous. But it must be accompanied with a helping verb. I am speaking. Am speaking. I like speaking. Speaking here is not a verb. Because the like is the verb. I like speaking here. Speaking is an infinitive. It's a noun. Is that clear? So there's a difference between them. In the Arabic language, you have very similar grammatical rules. النظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. نظر here means really reflection. It means looking, and looking with reflection. Because merely looking is not going to benefit you unless you reflect upon that which you're looking at. Otherwise, the kuffar, they see all kinds of things, and it doesn't make them believe. Because there's no reflection associated with it. So, نظر في آيات الله الكونية والشرعية. In the آيات of Allah, الكونية, the universal, الشرعية, the legislative. You should have memorized these terms by now. We've been studying them for Allah knows how long. You should, خلاص, these should be already common knowledge to you. كونية, universal. شرعية, legislative. And we said آيات is not restricted to verses. It could mean what we call a verse, even though some of those involved in da'wah disagree with the term verse being used for an ayah. Because a verse is used in poetry. A verse is used in poetry, technically speaking, and it is not used in the Quran, because the Quran is not shi'r, it's not poetry. So that's one view, but whatever. The ayat, anyways, the meaning is way more than that. Ayah, Allah says, for example, Surah Shu'ara, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةٌ وَمَا كَانَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily, in that is an ayah, meaning there's a sign. It's a miracle, in a sense. It's a sign, it's a miracle, indication, proof, evidence. All of these mean ayah. Not only the ayah which you read in the book of Allah. So here, ayat al-kawniyah. Could it mean the ayah in the Quran, the universal? Could it mean that? Impossible. Ayah here is referring to what? The signs, the universal signs of Allah. وَالشَّرْعِيَّةِ. Here it refers to the actual ayat of the Quran, and also the miracle in the revelation, even the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's also miraculous in this sense. قال الله تعالى أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت. Do they not look at the camels, how they were created? And the camel is an amazing animal. If you ever come across one while driving down, you know, to some distant place like Bahra or somewhere, you may see some camels, and just reflect on this camel. Ajib, the creation of the camel itself, the way it's able to endure heat and remain without water, because it has it stored in its own body for such a long time. The whole thing is just amazing. As a creation, it's an amazing, and you know, it was it remains to be one of the most valuable assets of the Arabs. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعْمِ. For Allah to guide one person through you is better for you than the red camels. Because the red camels were of like Lamborghini or Ferraris, or even more than that. Until today, by the way, in some of the United Arab Emirates or Qatar, they have these camel competitions, and the most expensive one, millions of riyals. For a camel. People still pay this kind of money for the camel. And they breed them, and يعني سبحان الله. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. And the heavens. And the heavens could mean paradise. heaven, and it could mean the samawat. But very often in Islam, in the Christianity, it's a little different. They usually refer to heaven as in paradise. In Islam, we usually use paradise for Jannah, and samawat we use heavens. Right? Heaven or heavens. And the heavens, how they were, how it was raised. Rufi'at. Now, what is so unique about the fact that it is raised? What's so special about it? What do we call it? Do you know an ayah which supports that? An ayah which supports that. There are multiple ayat. I believe one of them is in the beginning of Surah Luqman. رَفَعَ السَّمَوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. He raised the heavens without any pillars which you're able to see. And the ulama differed. What does that mean? It means, are there pillars which you cannot see? Or does it mean that there are actually no pillars? Alaykum salam. So either way, you don't see any pillars. So it is just raised. And if Allah willed, as Allah said, if Allah willed, and He did not hold on, He did not by His will keep the sky from falling, it would have fallen on people and crushed them. The sama is a creation. But just because you see nothing but blue, it doesn't mean that it is not a creation which may fall on people. Because on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will actually split open. It become like doors, abwab. It be like gates. So it could fall on the people. But Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that it would not. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ. And the mountains, how they were rooted and fixed firmly in the ground. The mountains. And you know, the mountains, subhanAllah, are also amazing. وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ. And the ground, the earth, how it was spread out. So what is Allah saying here? Do you not look at these things? Look at the camel, look at the heavens, look at the mountains, look at the earth, and use this for what? To believe in Allah. To believe in Allah. And really, when you look at them, this camel, what are the chances of human beings being able to create a camel like that, with this functionality? And if they were able to create a robot camel, what kind of maintenance does it require? What kind of battery does it need? What kind of, you know, even if they, let's say, use the sun to recharge it, as in modern days now, some watches, you go like this, supposedly, and recharge, yeah, solar energy, whatever. Even now, how much complication is associated with that? And then, if of course, you need a mechanic to fix it, and whatever. All these things, human beings are unable to do. Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla created the camel in the manner in which He did. And there are, you know, millions and billions of them existing, and Allah maintains all of them simultaneously. The same thing we can say about the heavens and the earth and what have you. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Say, look at what is in the heavens and the earth. But the ayat, the signs and the nudhur and the warnings do not benefit those who believe not. No matter what you show them, they will not believe, because they don't want to believe. وَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْإِنسَانُ عِلْمًا بِمَا أَوْدَعَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْكَوْنِ مِنْ عَجَائِبِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ وَمِنَ الْحِكَمِ الْبَالِغَاتِ ازْدَادَ إِيمَانًا بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The more the person becomes knowledgeable of what Allah has placed in this universe of the amazing creatures and a miraculous wisdom, he will increase his iman. This will increase his iman in Allah Azza wa Jal. وَكَذَلِكَ النَّظَرْ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ شَرْعِيَةً. Similarly, reflecting upon Allah's legislative signs. يَزِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ إِيمَانًا بِاللَّهِ. It will also increase your iman in Allah. لِأَنَّكَ إِذَا نَظَرْتَ إِلَى الْآيَاتِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ. If you reflect upon the legislative signs, وَهِيَ الْأَحْكَامِ الَّتِي جَاءَتْ بِهَا الرُّسُلُ, which is basically the rulings which the prophets or the messengers brought, وَجَدْتَ فِيهَا مَا يُبْهِرُ الْعُقُولِ مِنَ الْحِكَمِ الْبَالِغَةِ وَالْأَسْرَارِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الَّتِي تَعْرِفُ بِهَا أَنَّ هَذِي الشَّرِيعَةِ نَزَلَتْ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. You will find in it what mesmerizes the mind of tremendous wisdom and miraculous, benefits, that through which you're able to know that this sharia, this legislation, was sent down by Allah. It was sent down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأنها مبنية على العدل والرحمة. And it is based on justice and mercy. فتزداد بذلك إيمانا. That will increase you in إيمان. And I mean, if you look at any aspect of Islam, any social aspect, any economical aspect, any aspect pertaining to the relationship between the creation and the, amongst each other, or the creation, the creator, everything is perfect. Perfect from right now, the riba. And all the problems which the world is suffering from because of riba. Interest, people just running their credit, and you know, then they, it's just a big, big loss. Muslims have the solution. If people were to apply al-qard al-hasan, the good loan, where you loan someone money and then they pay you back the same amount which you loaned them, then a lot of the problems which exist today economically would not have existed. And I saw on CNN, on the internet, on CNN, they had an interview with some Islamic banks in Nigeria. I believe it was Nigeria, one of these African countries, and there was this lady, Muslim lady. And now they're saying how they've started a franchise of banks dealing with strictly Islamically, no interest. And the whole country is excited about it. Christians, everybody wants, they no longer want to deal with their banks. All of them are going to the Islamic banks, because they found their justice and fairness, which they don't find in their own banks, who try to basically capitalize on their needs and make more money off of them. So in any aspect actually of life, Islam provides the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal is the most perfect. Killing the apostate is a classical example. People say this is, you know, barbaric, and this is, you know, this is cruel, and this is, you know, injustice, and the people have the freedom of religion and someone is free to be a Muslim or to leave Islam, and why would you kill someone? Say, are you kidding me? There's nothing better than killing that loser. If someone was a Muslim and he decided to leave Islam, they don't want Islam. After they identified it as the truth, after it became clear to them, this is the deen of Allah. It is not cultural, not someone who was born into it. No, someone who came in contact with the truth. Then they left it alone. Their existence is worse than their non-existence. Because when they die, it's better for them. Because if they don't, the longer they live with that crime, the greater the punishment in the life to come. Did you know that? The greater, the longer the life with the more evil deeds, the greater the punishment. Their death is mercy to them. Their death is mercy to them before the people. For the people, it's Allah preserving the faith of the believers. Because people are weak. And when they, if at the time of weakness of faith, when they see people leaving the religion, and there's nothing in Islam which prevents you, you know how many people will be leaving Islam on a daily basis because of their weakness of faith and their sins? Many. But when they know that there's no choice, no matter how low the iman gets, he will not leave Islam. He may abandon something, he may leave something alone, but he will not say, I want to become a Christian or a Jew or a Hindu, because he realizes the consequences. So that ruling is mercy for the believers. Through this ruling, many of them remain within Islam and Allah guides them eventually, rather than them leaving and destroying themselves. And for the other people, it's mercy that these people don't exist in the society because they're the worst example of a human being. So in that ruling, there's mercy for the one being executed, for the ones who may are weak of faith, and for the regular people in the society. So it's a win-win situation all the way. Now, if you don't look at it this way, and you're brainwashed by the Western media, you'll say, yeah, you know, come on, this is too much. Why would you kill someone? Blah, blah, blah. But in the deen of Allah, this is the most suitable ruling. And Prophet ﷺ said it explicitly, مَنْ بَدَّلَ دِينَهُ فَقْتُلُهُ. Whoever changes the religion, as in whoever leaves Islam, kill him. There's no point for, you know, elaboration or philosophical argumentation, as some of the people have said today. It means that, doesn't mean it. It's clear words, clear words. If you leave the religion, then that's what the ruling is. Now, if you're not reported to the authority, you get by. And many people get by. But what are we supposed to do? Leave them or give them da'wah? Give them da'wah. It's our obligation. It's our obligation. Everyone is obliged to make sure that everyone around him is adhering to Islam to the best of one's ability. This is our obligation, individual obligation, communal obligation on each one of us. So, you know, we do our best, and Allah Azza wa Jal is waliyu tawfiq. Na'am. وَأَنَّهَا مَبْنِيَ نَعْمْ وَالثَّالِثِ. The third reason. So far we said, knowing Allah's names and attributes, reflecting on Allah's universal and legislative signs. Thirdly, كَثْرَةُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَإِحْسَانِهَا لِأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ دَاخِلَةٌ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَإِذَا كَانَتْ دَاخِلَ فِيهِ لَزِمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَزِيدَ بِكَثْرَتِهَا. The abundance of obedience and ihsan in that, as in the very, you do a lot of active worship and you try to reach perfection in each. Yani you do it in the excellent manner. That's what ihsan is, to excel. Meaning you try to establish the excellence in the performance of your ibadat, which are should be a lot. Why? Because deeds are integrated with iman. They're part and parcel of your iman. If it is the case, which is the case, لَزِمَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَزِيدَ بِكَثْرَتِهَا. This necessitates that your iman will increase when you have a lot of acts of worship. And acts of worship, ya akhwan, are not associated to your individual worship. In fact, in Islam, the scholars make a distinction between النَّفْعِ الْقَاصِرِ أَوْ عَلَى الشَّخْصِ وَالنَّفْعِ الْمُتَعَدِّي إِلَى الْغَيْرِ. There's a form of benefit which is personal and private. It only affects you. And there's the benefit which actually extends over to other people. The second is better than the first. The second, meaning that which you do, which benefits other Muslims, is better than the thing which benefits you alone. And I read a few authentic narrations while researching a subject matter on knowledge and the virtues of knowledge. They are a hadith sahih from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the one, subhanAllah, we try to apply it, that the one who prays and then engages in teaching is better than the one who prays and then he prays the sunnah afterwards. Meaning teaching and learning is superior to a rak'atan, which you can pray now, you can pray later, you can make it up at night, whatever. The whole issue of ilm, because it involves you learning and benefiting others, because let's put it that way. If each one of us learn how to do salah, mashi, you learn how to pray according to the sunnah. And each one of us prayed on his own. How did we benefit the ummah? Nothing. Nothing at all. You benefited yourself. But when we engage in this knowledge, pursuit, and we learn, then this knowledge, the one which we acquire, is going and being shared with other Muslims. How many people did we help versus that rak'atan? Many. That is superior to the first. So sometimes you may, like some of the ulama say, you may not, a person sent in a letter to Imam Malik. He said, what is this, you keep wasting your time. Standing to Imam Malik. You keep wasting time with these hadith and collecting a hadith because he had the muwatta of Imam Malik. And this and that. He was telling him, do that which will be beneficial for you with Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Basically, he's encouraging him to do more ibadah and leave alone ilm. And so the Imam replied to him by saying, look, each one has a door from which he enters. Allah decreed that not all people are the same. Ibn Mas'ud used to say, I seek strength in my salah by abandoning voluntary fast. Okay, he wasn't, yani his physical, Ibn Mas'ud, even his feet, his legs were very slim. Sahaba even laughed. Prophet ﷺ said they are heavier than the mountain of Uhud in the mizan on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. So he wasn't that, strong built, if we may say that. So for him, for some people, voluntary fast is a killer. He can't wake up for salah, or he prays half asleep. He can't do his job. He's working like this, sleeping. We say, no, Habibi, your job and doing your job is an obligation. You being alert and up is an obligation. Fasting is voluntary. If you're unable to do both, then abandon the voluntary fast and fulfill the obligations. Because not everyone is made to be someone who fasts voluntarily. If you're able to do so, alhamdulillah. We're not discouraging anyone from doing good deeds. But everyone has something which he is inclined towards, which he can excel at. as long as we all try to benefit the Muslims and not only restrict the benefit to ourselves. السبب الرابع, the fourth reason, ترك المعصية تقربا إلى الله عز وجل. فإن الإنسان يزداد بذلك إيمانا بالله عز وجل. Abandoning sin, seeking nearness to Allah, because the person will increase in this, will increase his iman in Allah. And try it. We ask Allah to aid us. But you're driving your car, or you're sitting in the passenger seat, and there comes this, you know, beautiful woman. And naturally you want to look. Of course, the first look is the first look. You're excused. Not a long look. But that first accidental look, that's beyond your ability. You can't be walking around like this. You know, you have to see around. Afterwards, here comes the test. Now, when you look again, what's going to happen? You're going to like what you see. Then what? End of story. Okay, and what? Now you want something which you can't get, usually, unless you're picking up women in the streets, which is crazy. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go that far. And if you did, you've destroyed yourself. You're going to have to stop at some point. You liked it, now you've created some feelings or some emotions, and end of story. What are you left with? The guilt, the sin, which will make the rest of your day terrible. For the rest of the day, you're upset with yourself, and now Allah took away success in this and that. Nothing is working out for you. And you got nothing out of the whole thing. But try to look away. So I'm not going to look again. And busy yourself with your phone or something. When that lady is gone, you feel good. Your iman increases. Because you did it out of fear of Allah. And you know Allah sees you. And He knows you. So that gives you a boost of your iman. You do this 4 or 5 times, you'll be feeling good. So abandoning sins brings about this kind of result. Of course it takes a lot. It's not easy. Probably the most difficult. Particularly women. The biggest fitna. Right now, if you hear some music, you can easily say, bunch of junk. Turn it off. You don't want to hear it. Many things you're able to avoid. The most difficult one is women. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I did not leave a fitna more dangerous upon men after me than women. We know that for a fact. And among the things which were made beloved to our Messenger ﷺ was women as well. Among the things which he was from the dunya was women. So women is ever a fitna for the believer. The hadith, other hadith says, إن الدنيا حلوة خضرة وإن الله مستخلفكم فيها فينظر كيف تعملون فاتقوا فتنة الدنيا فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا فتنة النساء فإن أول فتنة بني إسرائيل كانت في النساء. This dunya is green and lovely, sweet, and Allah has placed you as deputies, so He will look and see how you act. So protect yourself from the temptation of the dunya, and protect yourself from the temptation of women. Verily, the first fitna which made this Bani Israel what they are today was women. And so the women is a fine line. So the more we can avoid that, the easier things will become in terms of other ma'asi, which we should be able to avoid. Because nowadays, back then, ya akhwan, things were different. I mean, imagine someone living in the desert, tayyib, and the shaitan started whispering to him some things about women. What is the most he can do? He has to go out, ride a camel, and try to see a woman which is showing a leg. Sahih? He may find, he may not find. Nowadays, phone, internet, television, it has become like it's in your pocket. This phone here, these phones, everything now. You have a, you know, bundle with mobile or Wi-Fi, khalas. Everything is accessible within this tiny, in the hammam, no one even sees you. So now the fitna has become greater. It's available, readily available, and everyone is advertising it. And now you really, the fitna is stronger, the temptation is stronger, and which means you have to put a stronger effort. Back then he didn't have to worry about his iPhone or his HTC or Samsung, ma'alish, out of consideration for the Samsung brothers. They didn't have to worry about that. But we do. And so, you know, all these, the fitna of women is all over the place. Wallahu musta'an. Then, now these were the four reasons through which iman increases. Now what about decrease of iman? Who can give me an automatic answer? We said about four means through which you increase your iman. What do you think the four means to decrease the iman would be? The opposite. Alhamdulillah. The opposite of the four. Naturally, whatever you do that will increase, if you don't do it or you do the opposite, will decrease. The Shaykh said, الأول الإعراض عن معرفة الله تعالى بأسماء وصفاته. Turning away from knowing Allah's names and attributes. Or knowing Allah through His names and attributes. الثانية الإعراض عن النظر في الآيات الكونية والشرعية فإن هذا يوجب الغفلة وقسوة القلب. Turning away from reflecting upon Allah's universal and legislative signs, this necessitates غفلة. What is غفلة in English? Heedlessness. Excellent. وقسوة القلب, the hardness of the heart. The hardness of the heart. And Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. It's a very scary ayah. And you know, waylon is not something which you take lightly. It's not something which goes on and through this ear out of that one. If you read the whole Quran, anytime wail is used, there's a big, big problem associated with it. And a big threat from Allah. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ وَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ وَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. And many other ayat. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. And so on and so forth. So it's not يعني, something which you take lightly. الثالث قلة العمل الصالح. The third reason is the insufficiency of, no, not disobedience, of doing good deeds. Slow down, ya Sheikh Ibrahim. ويدل لذلك قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النساء ما رأيت ناقصات عقل ودين ناقصات عقل ودين أذهب للب الرجل الحازم من إحداكن. قالوا يا رسول الله كيف نقصان دينها قال أليس إذا حاضت لم تصلي ولم تصم. Doing less good deeds. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said concerning women, I have not seen anything I've never seen anything with deficient intellect and religious commitment that is able or that are able to take away the mind of an intellectual man like you. And this is true. You know, you find a man who's on all that. What was that French? There's this French figure, a big politician who's supposed to be the minister of the government or something. He's supposed, now if this is a person of status, right? And the people of high status, they have to act particular ways because their eyes of the public are on them. He went to a New York hotel and there's a lady that cleans the cleaning lady. He tried to rape her. He tried to rape her. What got him out of his mind? Now mind you, this is a man with money. Technically speaking, he could hire the highest paid prostitute in the world and he would have no issues. In fact, he could have 5, 10, 20 of them. And here's a maid cleaning the hotel. His mind was, you know, on vacation. Now they said that he didn't and that, you know, they always come up with a way to get him out of the whole situation. But then he admitted. He said, I made a mistake and I was, you know, I was weak at that point, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he has to say this because his wife is going to throw him out of the house if he doesn't say that. And he cannot say that he had a good time. But now this is a politician. He can afford to do the haram. It's all haram. In other ways, behind closed doors, as they do. As most politicians do. But look now what happened to him in a hotel in New York as a visitor. You know, crazy stuff. So that tells you that's a manifestation of this hadith in this day and time. But anyways, the Sahaba wanted to, what do you mean, O Messenger of Allah, nuqsan deen? How is her deen deficient or imperfect? He said, isn't it that when she menstruates, she does not pray nor does she fast? That is it. So she has less ibadah. So he has less deen. You learn this. Less fasting, less siyam, less salah, which means less deen. Which means more salah, more siyam, more deen. Again, if you're able to do all that, don't go back and say you said you shouldn't fast. I didn't say you shouldn't fast. I said some people who are unable to fast, because they're weak, they leave it alone. If you're able to fast Monday, Thursday, or the 3 days of each month, Ayyamul Bid, the 13th, 14th, 15th, or the day of Arafah, or the day of Ashura, or even Siyam Dawood, which is alternate days. One day you fast, the next you don't. Go ahead, barakallah feek. You'll enter Jannah, inshallah, from Bab al-Rayyan. Tayyib. Al-Rabi', the fourth, that's the one that Muhammad was hasty about. فعل المعاصي. The committing sins. لقوله تعالى كلا بل ران على قلوبهم ما كانوا يكسبون. Nay, rather it has covered their hearts that which they used to earn. Ran is like a layer which is created around something so that there's less communication with the outside world. You put like for a woman, why does a woman wear hijab? Or a khimar, or the veil. Why is it called hijab? يحجب المرأة عن الرجال. It kind of hides and veils the woman from men. Now, when there's less friction, there's less fitna and less temptation. So this veil covers the heart. What does that mean in that context? I mean, when the maw'idha comes, when the admonishment comes, it cannot find a way through the heart. The heart has all these layers covering it, so no matter what, and some people, you know, you try to advise them, it just doesn't happen. Today in the masjid, I prayed in the masjid, dhuhr, and I was sitting in my place, wherever I was sitting, and this guy came and squeezed himself in, said, ma fi mushkila, I'll let it slide, even though I'm very sensitive about someone bothering me in the salah, I said, ma'alish fi sabilillah. Tayyib. We started the salah. Of course, he opened the Quran, started reading somewhat loudly. And I wanted to advise him. I said, leave him. I wasn't reading the Quran myself. I said, leave him. Let him enjoy himself. I will busy myself with something else. We established the salah. The man raises his voice in all of the movements. You can hear his tasbih. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim like this. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana Rabbi al-Ala. His dua and sujood. Half of his fatiha. I mean, I can no longer pray. He's distracting me. His thawb is very long. And he keeps rocking in the salah. So every time he moves, his thawb keeps rubbing against my foot. You know, back and forth. So now it's like someone tickling you in the salah. So I keep moving my foot away from him. He keeps moving his foot next to me. And usually, it's the other way around. Usually, we're trying to tell the people, come put your foot next to mine, you know, and they run away. This is the only guy who's doing it the other way around. He wants it and I don't because of his thawb. So, I mean, it was a terrible salah. And when we finished and we gave the salam, now imagine, I smiled at him like this. Said, salam alaikum. Akhi al-habib. You know what that means? My beloved brother. It is not okay, not permissible, to raise your voice in the various stages of the salah. He said, don't advise me in the masjid. You want to advise me? Advise me outside, of course, in Arabic. I said, why? I'm just telling you. He said, don't talk to me. Ya subhanallah. I said, ya akhi, I'm trying to tell you of something. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? He said, don't give me advice. I said, this is arrogance. That's what arrogance is. You're not accepting, you're belittling the person advising you. And the ayatul munafiq, four qualities of the munafiq. إِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ. If you dispute with him, he blows things out of proportion. He started screaming in the masjid. About to start, you know, swinging at me. And I'm being very gentle, very nice. Just want to tell him, you know, don't raise your voice. And, you know, this big fitna, and then he got up and he left and he, on his way out, you know, he deliberately trying to move behind me, he put his leg against my back and he walked away. And I say to myself, ya akhi, wallahi, I don't know these people from which planet they brought them. What is this nasty behavior, this nasty character that you can be upon? Yani, ya akhi, I said, what is the dalil that I can give you advice in the masjid? Why you want me to advise you outside? I'm not publicizing it. I'm whispering to him. No one can hear but him. He's next to me. He started screaming. Everybody in the masjid started looking at me. Don't talk to me in the masjid. Don't give me advice in the masjid. This is the house of Allah. MashaAllah, you're venerating the house of Allah. By screaming in the house of Allah, supposedly, yani, he doesn't want to debate. Why debate except the nasiha? So this is what happens. Sins. They cover their heart. The person becomes arrogant, prideful, stubborn, and dumb. so that you cannot communicate with an intelligent person, any person, even if a kafir, you come and try to speak to him, yeah, and he will have some reasoning with you that he may listen. This is Muslims in the houses of Allah. It's very sad, but this is what's happening. What is this from sins? The true believer is exactly the opposite. The one whose heart is soft, he said, you know, he will go back to the athar. رَحِمَ اللَّهُ مْرِئٍ أَهْدَ إِلَيَّ عُيُوبِ. May Allah have mercy on someone who gave me the gift of pointing out my errors, my mistakes. Ya akhi, be careful, this is not right. Jazakallah khair. Wallahi, you're right. I have some shortcomings, make dua for me. May Allah make it easier for me. This is what you're supposed to do. No matter who's the one advising you, bigger, older, younger, smarter, whatever. This is the attitude. If you don't act this way, wallah, it's because of some sickness in the heart. It's because of sins. Because it is not acceptable to behave in this fashion whatsoever. Anyways, so كَلَّ بَرَّانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَوْ بَلْ رَانَ. Some of the ulama say it is permissible to say, by the way, barrana. But because there's an actual Arabic word which is barran, and I don't remember exactly what it means, that's why some of the ulama in the tajweed, they say you stop. You say bal rana to differentiate between the two words. Otherwise, someone may think you're saying barran, which is something else. I forgot what it means. على كل حال. وخالف أهل السنة والجماعة في القول. Let's see the time. 7:48. وخالف أهل السنة والجماعة في القول بالزيادة والنقصان طائفتان. Two groups opposed أهل السنة والجماعة concerning the idea of the increase and decrease of iman. Who's the first one? الطائفة الأولى المرجئة. والطائفة الثانية الخوارج والمعتزلة. The خوارج and the معتزلة. These two opposed أهل السنة والجماعة. الطائفة الأولى, the first group, المرجئة, قالوا إن الإيمان لا يزيد ولا ينقص. They said iman neither increases nor does it decrease. لأن الأعمال ليست من الإيمان. Deeds have nothing to do with iman. حتى يزيد بزيادتها وينقص بنقصانها. So that it has nothing to do with iman, so that the actual iman will increase because of deeds or decrease because of lack of deeds, according to them. فالإيمان هو إقرار القلب والإقرار لا يزيد ولا ينقص. They said iman is the acknowledgement of the heart, and acknowledgement does not increase or decrease. And we said this is the belief system of shaitan, who has iqrar, but he doesn't do anything about it. وَنَحْنُ نَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ فَنَقُولُ. The Shaykh said, we refute them, we reply to them by saying, أَوَّلًا إِخْرَاجُكُمُ الْأَعْمَالِ مِنَ الْإِمَانِ لَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. First, for you to extract the relationship between deeds and iman is incorrect. فَإِنَّ الْأَعْمَالِ دَاخِلَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. Because iman, the deeds are part of iman. وَقَدْ سَبَقَ ذِكْرُ الدَّلِيلِ. We've already mentioned the dalil. فَزَادَتْهُمْ إيمانا. Allah said about the believers, it increased them in iman. We mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah was never to waste your iman, and we said that iman means salah, which they prayed for al-Maqdis before they turned to al-Ka'bah. And Allah called it iman, even though it was speaking about salah. ثانياً, قولكم إن الإقرار بالقلب لا يختلف زيادة ونقصاً ليس بصحيح. Furthermore, acknowledgement in the heart, you claim that the acknowledgement in one's heart does not increase or decrease, is also incorrect. Because they said iqrar, acknowledgement, does not fluctuate. It does not fluctuate. It's fixed. Like fixed rate, they say it is fixed. He said even that is incorrect. بل الإقرار بالقلب يتفاضل. Rather, the acknowledgement in one's heart differs among the people. أفضل يتفاضل, أي one is better than the other, meaning there's a difference. I mean, his إقرار is better than his, and his is the best, and so on and so forth. فلا يمكن لأحد أن يقول إن إيماني كإيمان أبي بكر. No one can come and say my iman is like iman of Abu Bakr. بل يتعدى ويقول إن إيماني كإيمان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. Or he can reach the level and transgress and say that my iman is like the iman of the Messenger of Allah. Can anyone say that?
No.
According to them, it is. Because they say that if you acknowledge and the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام acknowledge, then you and his iman are alike. And we know that no one can have better iman. The best is the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم نقول إن الإقرار بالقلب يقبل التفاضل. We say the acknowledgement in the heart accepts fluctuation. فإقرار القلب بخبر الواحد ليس كإقرار إقراري بخبر اثنين. سبحان الله. So the ulama are amazing people. He said the acknowledgement which you have in your heart when one person brings you news is not like when two people bring you news. If let's say something happened, they said that there was an earthquake back in some country. If one person brought you the news, it may be a problem. I mean, you may believe, you may acknowledge, but if two people from two parts of the world told you the same news, what happens to you? Because one may make a mistake. Something which I did when I moved to this country not that long ago. There's this website that basically keeps you up to date with the entrance of Ramadan. I don't remember whether it was Ramadan or Eid. Yeah, it was Ramadan. So when you go to the website, it says that, you know, the Lajna al-Qadaiya, whatever they saw the moon shining, and so such and such, tomorrow's Ramadan. So I was frequenting, you know, I frequented this website trying to see whether Ramadan is tomorrow or not. So I went in and it said, you know, the moon has been sighted and tomorrow is Ramadan. And I'm in the Dawah Center. I go downstairs, I tell everyone, Ya Jama'at al-Khair, tomorrow is Ramadan. I said, Ya Abu Musab, you're the only one with this information. I said, Wallah, this website is reliable, blah, blah, blah. I gave him a long story. The Akhwan waited and waited. They said, look, you're the only one with this claim. I said, you doubt me? I'm telling you, man, I saw it. And after a long debate, they said, no way. I went back upstairs, and it turned out that was the announcement from last year. And I didn't read the year. As soon as I saw they sighted the moon, blah, 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 Ramadan, I said, Allahu Akbar, tomorrow's Ramadan. I go downstairs, make the announcement. And so I missed the year. It was the year 30, and that was year 31. I read the year 30. Of course, the website should have removed that announcement, but they didn't. If you go to that link, it has the same announcement of the previous year. So that tells you that the information from one person, even if you thought you trusted him, is not necessarily reliable. And even if you believe this, but if two people told you, oh, we sighted the moon, then, you know, you'll feel more at ease. There's a stronger acknowledgement. Of course, nowadays, anytime I tell them, Ikhwan, tomorrow's Ramadan, tomorrow, they say, get out of here. Nobody even listens to you. They say, look, we've learned our lesson with you. You're not reliable in this sense. So I no longer convey to them, even if I know if it is Ramadan or Eid. على كل حال, وإقراره بما سمع ليس كإقراره بما شاهد. Furthermore, what you acknowledge through hearing is not like what you acknowledge through seeing. صحيح؟ يعني if you saw the accident with your own eyes, it's not like hearing someone telling you about the accident. ألم تسمع قول إبراهيم؟ Did you not hear the same of Ibrahim? ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى. My Lord, show me how you give life to the dead. قال أولم تؤمن. Allah said, do you not believe? Have you not believed? قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي. He said, yes, but so that my heart can find tranquility, so I can be at ease. Meaning, we know Ibrahim believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you see it with your own eyes, خلاص, you feel like you cool, you cool down, you relax, it becomes something certain. You know, like when someone buys you something, it says, it's coming, and you know that it's coming, but it's not like when you see it in front of you, and you're like, ha, this is it. So there's a whole other feeling to it. Allahumma musta'an. Then, we will stop at this point, barakallahu feekum, inshallah ta'ala. فهذا دليل على أن الإيمان الكائن في القلب يقبل زيادة ونقص. The concluding statement of this paragraph. This indicates that iman in the heart actually can increase or decrease, and there are further refutations against them which we will deal with inshallah next week. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.